The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the things that people frequently ask me to do is to bless things. You know, rosaries, medals, statues of saints, and so forth. It's one of the privileges given to priests and deacons, namely, to bless objects in the name of the church. But what exactly does that mean for something to be blessed? Well, it's really very simple. When something is blessed, it is made holy. It's set apart for God. For example, this chalice has been blessed. It's set apart for a purpose. It's been elevated for a higher use. It's no longer used, can no longer be used for ordinary drink. So we now call it a sacred vessel, a blessed vessel. When you buy a crucifix on a chain, like this one that I borrow from my wife, it's just a piece of jewelry. That's all it is. But once it's been blessed, it's no longer just a piece of jewelry. It's been elevated to a higher purpose. The purpose of this crucifix is no longer just an accessory to your wardrobe. Now, this crucifix serves the purpose of being a sign. It is now a sign of the love of Jesus for everyone who looks upon this crucifix. These are blessed objects. 2 weeks ago, did you have your throat blessed on the feast of Saint Blaise? If so, your throat has now been blessed. Your throat, your voice, your mouth has been made holy. It has been elevated for a higher purpose. Ask yourself, over the past 2 weeks, have you used your mouth, your voice, in a way that has been set apart for God, in a way that reflects that higher purpose? Before you leave here today, you will receive a blessing, as you do every time you participate in this sacred liturgy. This means that you are blessed. You are set apart for God. Your very being is elevated for a higher purpose. The deeper meaning of this higher purpose, this blessedness, is explained to us by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, or as we sometimes call them, the Beatitudes. The very meaning of the word beatitude is blessed, blessedness. Most of us are probably familiar with the Beatitudes as they come to us from the Gospel of Matthew. But today, we heard Luke's version of the Beatitudes. You may have noticed that they are shorter. While Matthew gives us 8 Beatitudes, Luke only gives us 4. But Luke gives us something that Matthew doesn't. Luke adds these so-called woe to you statements. Now, that word woe is tricky here. What may come to mind is something like that expression, oh, woe is me. But that doesn't quite capture the meaning of the word woe in the biblical sense. That word woe is probably better translated as cursed. A woe is a cursed. So what Jesus is really saying here is, cursed are you who are rich. Cursed are you who are full. Cursed are you who are laughing. Cursed are you who are praised by others. So now you're really confused, right? You should be, right? What exactly is Jesus getting at here? What's he saying? Why does Jesus curse people who laugh? It's good to laugh. I like to laugh. People who laugh are joyful. There's nothing wrong with laughter. In much the same way, what's wrong with being rich? I wish I was rich. What's wrong with enjoying and eating a good meal? That one I've got mastered. What's wrong with people praising you and saying good things about you? There's nothing wrong with any of these things. And yet, Jesus is pronouncing a curse on all those who are rich, all those who have their bellies full. What are we to make of all of this? This is strange, huh? I've told you this before. Let's see if you remember. When you encounter something strange or unusual happening in the New Testament, the key to understanding it is usually found where? In the Old Testament. Very good. Very good. And that is indeed the key to understanding what Jesus is talking about here. Let me ask you another question. Who was the first man to give a sermon from a mountain? Who was it? Moses. That's right, Moses. Probably what we all think of is Moses and the Ten Commandments, and that is indeed the case. Moses and the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But actually, Moses gave a lot more teachings from a mountain than just those Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the Old Testament and look at the book of Deuteronomy, specifically chapter 28, Moses gives many such teachings, and he does so by giving them as blessings and curses. Now, I have to warn you, Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you look, is a rather long and grim chapter. It's really a very good cure for insomnia, if you want to look at you for something. But in a nutshell, what Moses does there is he gives a list of blessings for obedience to God's law and a list of curses or woes for disobedience to God's law. Now, of course, obedience to God's law is a good thing, but the understanding of the Israelites went a little bit off the mark, is maybe a good way to put it. Their understanding was that if you were wealthy and successful, you were blessed by God for your righteousness. Now, we know today from experience that wealthy and successful business people are known for their righteousness, right? Yeah, so that was their understanding. If you were wealthy and successful, well, then you were blessed for your righteousness. But if you were poor, you were being cursed by God for some sin or sins that you have committed. Okay? Or if you were a woman and you were unable to conceive a child, you know why? Because you were being cursed by God for sins you have committed. Similarly, if a man were to contract some disease, you know why he contracted the disease, right? You get the idea. He got that disease because of some sin that he had committed. And on it goes. So, here is Jesus, like a new Moses, standing on a new mountain and giving a new law. Who is he speaking to in this gospel? It tells us Jews from Jerusalem and Judea. They knew the Torah. They knew the law of Moses. And what does Jesus tell them? He turns their understanding of blessings and curses upside down. He tells them, blessed are you if you are poor. Blessed are you if you are hungry. Excuse me. Blessed are you if you weep. Blessed are you if men... excuse me here. Blessed are you if men persecute you. Rejoice on that day, because your reward will be great. Where? In heaven. In heaven. And then he flips what Moses tells them. And he says, woe to you if you are rich. to you if you are rich. Woe to you if you are full. Woe to you if you laugh. Woe to you if you are spoken well of. Woe to you if you are not persecuted for the sake of the kingdom of God. In other words, in the new covenant, the blessings become curses, and the curses become blessings. The way you build up treasure, not in this life, not on earth, but in heaven, is precisely through suffering. It's through poverty. It's through hunger. It's through mourning. And above all, it's for persecution for the sake of the gospel. And then he warns them that by contrast, riches, earthly riches, can be or are dangerous, spiritually dangerous. That's why elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus says it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Or he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. How often rich people feel they really don't need God. You know, I dare say in some cases, there are rich people who feel God needs them. There's been more than one occasion in my personal experience where just in conversation, just in passing, I make the obvious statement that all we have, everything we own is all a gift from God. Everything is gift. You know, I've had people come up to me afterwards and vehemently disagree with that, and it's always the very successful, very wealthy people. And their argument runs something like this. Everything I have, I've earned. I've worked hard for it. No one's ever given me anything. I worked for everything I have. Not even God has given me anything. I've worked for it all. Do you see the danger in that? Do you see the danger that Jesus is warning us about? This doesn't usually happen to my voice. There's such a danger in this. People who are starving know they need God. They know their dependence on God. People who are hungry know they are weak and they are dependent on God. But the rich and the full, it's all so easy for them to get complacent. Oh, so easy. It's why we have a crucifix in the center of every Catholic church. The same book of Deuteronomy says, cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. Cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. Yet the ultimate blessing, the blessings of blessings, how did it enter into the world? Through the cross. Through the cross. Through a man who looks like he's been cursed by God. A man who is poor, a man who has nothing, a man who is mourning, a man who has been stripped of everything he has, a man who has been persecuted, and yet is the blessed, most blessed man of all. You know, it's why the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the Beatitude paradoxical promises. They're a paradox. A paradox. You know, that's the only way we can make sense of a blessing being a curse and a curse being a blessing. A paradox that makes sense only if with the logic of the cross. You know, that word blessed that we keep using, over and over and over and over here. It's not the word that Luke uses in the original gospel. The word he uses in that original Greek gospel is Makarios. And both in biblical Greek as well as modern Greek, Makarios means happy. It doesn't mean blessed. I don't know why we translate it as blessed. It means happy. It's just that simple. Jesus is telling us what we need to do if we really want to find ultimate happiness. And who among us doesn't ultimately want to be happy? Over and over again in the gospel, throughout the gospel of Luke, we're going to hear the same message over and over. Jesus is going to tell us, if you want to be happy, if you want to be my disciple, there's only one way. You must pick up your cross daily and follow after me. Unless you do that, you cannot be my disciple.